yourself wonderful. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Walk yourself wonderful.
Hello, and welcome to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, recorded here in my garden in London. Now, you might expect a programme about walking to be all about hikers, muddy boots, mountain trails, and people who spend their weekends striding across the countryside. But this episode is dedicated to the people who may need walking most, and that is the desk workers amongst us, and I include myself in that category. We're the people who spend much of the day sitting, staring at screens, moving from meeting to meeting, and wondering why by 5 o'clock we feel completely exhausted, even though we've barely moved. The thing is, walking doesn't have to be something you do after work to keep fit. Used differently, it can become part of how you work. And today I'm going to show you how a few strategically placed walks can help you think more clearly, generate better ideas, reduce stress, look after an aching back, neck and shoulders, and create some much needed breathing space in a relentlessly busy working day. We're going to explore the science behind what I call the light bulb walk and why getting up and walking away from a problem can sometimes be far more productive than sitting at your desk, staring harder and harder at it. But we're going to go further than that, because we're going to look at how you can use your journey to work to plan your day, your lunch break to reset your brain, and tiny 5-minute walks to break up long periods of sitting, and even an end of day walk to stop carrying the pressures of work straight through your front door, offloading them on the people you love the most. Because perhaps you still love the work you do, you just don't always love how work makes you feel anymore. So stay with me to the end, because I'll give you a handful of simple things you can start doing tomorrow that could make a noticeable difference, not only to how you feel at work, but to the quality of the work you produce, how you respond under pressure, and even the way you show up with your colleagues, your family, and the people around you. Because sometimes the smartest way to work better is to get up and walk. And I feel we need to say hello to that magpie who is sitting in the tree making a lot of noise. And as my dad would always say, "Morning, Mr. Magpie, how's your brother?" Because it's one for sorrow, two for joy, right? Well, that was an aside from the natural world. Let's get back to the content of the show. So I want you to think back for a moment to when you first started doing the work that you do now. Maybe it was a new job, a promotion, your first big professional role. Perhaps you had finally started your own business. Do you remember how it felt? You were interested, ambitious, full of ideas, you wanted to make a difference. You probably didn't wake up every morning thinking, "Oh, wonderful, another 8 hours staring at a screen." You were excited by the work. And then somewhere along the way, work changed, or perhaps the way we work changed. The inbox got bigger, meetings multiply, Teams, Zoom, Slack, WhatsApp, and notifications, they follow us everywhere. There's always another deadline, another problem, another person waiting for an answer. And gradually, the thing you once enjoyed starts to feel heavy. Deep down, you still love what you do, but you don't always love the way doing it makes you feel. You finish the day exhausted, even though physically you've barely moved. Your neck aches, your back aches, your leg aches. Your brain feels fried. And there's a strange irony, because when pressure increases, what do most of us do? We walk less. We cancel lunch. We eat at our desks. We sit for longer. We stare harder at the problem. And we tell ourselves, "I haven't got time for a walk. I've got too much work to do." That is the assumption that I want to challenge today. Because what if walking isn't taking you away from your work? What if it could actually become part of the way you do your work? What if leaving your desk could sometimes help you return to it calmer, clearer, and actually more productive? And what if the answer to the problem you've been staring at for the last hour isn't necessarily somewhere inside your laptop? It might be outside the front door. So we're going to talk about something I call the light bulb walk. But we're going to go further than creativity, because I want to look at how you can weave walking right through your working day to help you think, manage pressure, look after your body, and perhaps rediscover some of the enjoyment you used to get from the job that you do. And there is a really good reason, and there's a very good reason why this matters. The latest figures from Britain's Health and Safety Executive estimate that 964,000 workers were suffering from work-related stress, depression, or anxiety in 2024 and 25, while 511,000 were suffering from a work-related musculoskeletal disorder. Together, stress, depression, or anxiety and the musculoskeletal disorders accounted for the majority of the working days that were lost to work-related ill health. Stress, depression, and anxiety accounted for an estimated 22.1 million days, and musculoskeletal disorders, another 7.1 million days. So those are extraordinary numbers. And there's another word we hear constantly now, burnout. The World Health Organization describes burnout as an occupational phenomenon associated with chronic workplace stress that hasn't been successfully managed. It identifies three dimensions: exhaustion, growing mental distance or cynicism towards your work, and feeling less effective professionally. So it's not just about feeling exhausted, it's about feeling and being less effective. Because when we're overloaded, one of the things that can disappear is our ability to think expansively. We become reactive. Email, answer it. Problem, fix it. Meeting, attend it. Deadline, deliver. Over and over and over again. And that is where I think walking becomes really interesting, because walking doesn't simply exercise your legs. Under the right circumstances, it can change the way that you think. And there is some science underlying this. One of my favorite pieces of walking research came from Stanford University. Researchers Marily Opetso and Daniel Schwartz carried out four experiments that looked specifically at walking and creative thinking. What they found is that people tended to produce more creative ideas when they were walking as opposed to when they were sitting. And there's a really important detail. Walking didn't magically make people better at every kind of thinking. The biggest effect was on something that is called divergent thinking. So put very simply, divergent thinking is the kind of thinking that you use when there might be lots of possible answers. Like, how else could we do this? What haven't we considered? What could this presentation look like? How could we solve this client's problem? It's like brainstorming, that creative brainstorming that every business needs. And this is very different from convergent thinking, which is where you're trying to narrow everything down to one correct answer. And that's incredibly useful in a work context because it tells us what a light bulb walk is for. It isn't necessarily where you make the final decision. It's where you open up the possibilities. So here's a sentence that might help you think about the difference. The desk is for deciding. The walk is for discovering. So how do you take the light bulb walk? I've made the process deliberately simple. First of all, just choose one thing you're stuck on, not nine things, not like a huge problem, just one thing. Like, how can I make this proposal more compelling? How can we improve this service? What am I missing here? What would make this project easier? How can I have that difficult conversation? What you do next is you prime. So before you leave for your walk, spend 1 or 2 minutes thinking about that problem and write down what you already know. You're effectively giving your brain the ingredients. And then just walk. So 20 minutes is great. If you've got 30, that is always going to be better, but don't get hung up on that number. The research tells us it's the act of walking itself that matters. In the Stanford experiments, creativity improved even when people walked on a treadmill indoors, suggesting that you don't need the perfect woodland trail for this effect. In fact, you may even have a treadmill in your office or in the gym that's associated with the office, so you could use that. Once you've done your priming, all you need to do then is to wander or get on that treadmill. And this can be the hardest bit for a busy professional because you're so used to working to deadlines and creating specific results. But here's where you want to stop trying hard. You don't need to spend the entire walk mentally shouting, "Come on, brain, where's that brilliant idea I need?" Just let your attention loosen, look around, notice where you are. Allow one thought to lead to another. Do not look at your phone. Do not look at your emails. Don't listen to a podcast. No scrolling, please, on social media. Give your mind some space. And finally, capture. So when something useful arrives, capture it. If you're like me, an idea will suddenly pop into your head. And it might even be an idea that isn't related to the thing I went out to think about. It might be a different idea, but I still see it as a bit of a download from the universe. And I know that I will forget it unless I record it. And this is where you can get your phone out. Just quickly get your phone out, put on the voice recorder and record your idea so that when you get back to the office, it's there for you. And just a quick tip about the kinds of questions you should be asking. Instead of "what should I do?" which is kind of asking for a concrete response, it's "why can't I solve this?" That's a more open-ended question that will encourage your brain in the divergent thinking that walking is so good at promoting. Instead of "what is the right answer?" try "what are some possible answers?" This is about lateral thinking, creative thinking, open-minded thinking. So next time you find yourself staring at a document for 45 minutes, changing one sentence and then changing it back and basically not making any real progress, perhaps that's a sign that instead of sitting there for another 45 minutes, you should stand up, put your coat on, ask the question, and go for a walk. Because sometimes the most productive thing you can do at your desk is to leave it. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to show you how to take this idea much further, including how to use your commute, your lunch break, walking meetings, and even 5-minute walks around an office corridor to change the rhythm of your entire working day.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And today we're looking at a different way of thinking about walking and work. Not walking as exercise you somehow have to fit into an already packed day, but walking is something you deliberately integrate into the working day. And I want to start with your journey to work. So if you travel to a workplace, could you walk some of your commute? Maybe you get off the train or bus one stop earlier, or you park further away. Maybe you walk from the station rather than taking the final connection. And if you work from home, you can do something I love: create a fake commute. So before opening your laptop, walk around the block, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 if you can. But rather than using that time to start answering emails on your phone, use it to design your day. And you can ask yourself 3 questions. What really matters today? Not the 37 things clamoring for your attention, but what actually matters to me? How am I going to design my day? Secondly, you can ask, how do I want to show up today? Do I want to show up calm, decisive, curious, patient, creative? And third, what am I not going to allow to hijack my day? And that could be one of the most productive questions that you ask all morning, because there's a world of difference between arriving at your desk and immediately allowing your inbox to decide what matters and arriving already knowing what matters to you. And here's where another simple behavior change idea can help. You may have heard the phrase habit stacking. It's an idea that comes from James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. And the basic principle is very simple. So rather than finding an entirely new place in your day for a behavior, connect it to something that already happens. So habit research consistently points to the value of repeating an action in a stable context so that the context itself gradually becomes a cue for the behavior. So instead of saying, I really must walk more, try saying, after I get off the train, I walk the final 5 minutes. Or after I close the front door behind me in the morning, I do my 10-minute fake commute. Now the walk has a home in your schedule and it isn't competing with the rest of your day. And this leads to something I call the 0-minute walk. No, I have not discovered a way of walking without using time. What I mean is this, zero extra diary time. So you take something you already need to do and you make walking part of it. So you need to commute, so walk part of it. You need to call a colleague. Could that become a walking call? You need to speak to someone in your building. Rather than send another Teams message, walk to them, talk to them. You have a one-to-one meeting that doesn't require screens or documents. Could it become a walking meeting? You're waiting for your coffee. Walk the corridor while it brews. You've finished one meeting and have 10 minutes before the next. Don't automatically open your inbox. Instead, move. And this matters because we now have some fascinating evidence about small doses of movement during the working day. A 2026 study published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine tested 5-minute walking breaks every 30, 60 or 120 minutes in a large real-world intervention. More than 11,000 participants actually initiated the program. The researchers found improvements in fatigue and mood across the groups and concluded that a 5-minute break every hour offered the best balance between benefits and what people could realistically sustain. Importantly for employers, the walking breaks did not appear to damage perceived work performance. So just 5 minutes, not a gym session, no need to change into the Lycra, you don't have to have a shower afterwards, you just get up and walk, and a corridor counts, stairs counts, outside the building counts. Yes, we are recording live from my garden here in London, and there is the occasional siren in those busy streets. So back to those micro walks. There's earlier laboratory evidence too. Columbia University researchers compared several different movement snacks during an 8-hour period of sitting. The strongest cardiometabolic results came from 5 minutes of walking every half hour. That pattern lowered both blood glucose and blood pressure compared with uninterrupted sitting. It doesn't mean you need to set an alarm that wrecks your concentration every 30 minutes. One of the reasons I like the newer 2026 study is that it looked at practicality as well as theoretical benefit. Because advice only works if people can actually live with it. And I don't know about you, but I cannot automatically get up every 30 minutes if I'm in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of an idea. But you can start with one simple rule. Once an hour, change your geography. Get up, move, look somewhere other than your screen, even if it's just 5 minutes. So the second walk is the lunchtime reset. And lunchtime may be the most wasted walking opportunity in the professional working day, because when we're busy, lunch becomes something we consume with one hand while operating a mouse with the other. But ask yourself, what happens to your productivity at 2 o'clock when you haven't properly stopped since 8:30 in the morning? So instead, what if lunch became a deliberate reset? You might take your light bulb question with you, or you might do the exact opposite. You might take nothing with you, no work problem, no podcast, no call, just walk. Give your eyes a break from the screen, let your shoulders move, let your arms swing, let your attention widen. If you have access to a park, trees, water, or even a leafy urban square, there may be an additional reason to head there. In a 2022 study published in Molecular Psychiatry, researchers randomly assigned participants to a one-hour walk, either in a forest or along a busy urban street. Brain scans before and after showed decreased activity in the amygdala, a region involved in stress processing, after the nature walk, while it remained stable after the urban walk. But your lunch break doesn't have to be an hour and you don't need a forest. But if you've got a choice between 10 minutes beside a dual carriageway and 10 minutes through a small park, personally, I would always take the trees. And then notice what happens when you sit down. The afternoon doesn't necessarily have to begin with that same frazzled brain that left the desk. You've created a transition, a reset, and perhaps a different perspective. And there's another reason why this matters, and that's your body. Remember those figures I quoted before? More than 500,000 workers reporting work-related musculoskeletal disorders. Walking is not a magic treatment for every aching neck, painful shoulder, or back problem, but our bodies evolved over millions of years to walk. Walking is not trivial movement. Regular walking can be a meaningful part of looking after your body. And if your working day involves hours and hours in one position, perhaps one of the simplest things you can change isn't getting some posh, expensive ergonomic chair. Maybe it's actually the time you spend outside of that chair. So after the break, we're going to finish the working day because there's one more walk I think maybe as important for your relationships as it is for your career. And that's the walk that helps you leave work at work.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And today we're talking about how and why you should incorporate walking into your working day. So we've walked into work. We've used a light bulb walk to think. We've broken up the day with micro walks. We've reclaimed our lunch break. Now I want to talk about perhaps the most overlooked walk of all, the walk out of your working day. So think about the end of your average working day. You shut the laptop down, but can you shut your brain down? Or are you still in that meeting while you're cooking dinner? Are you still rewriting the email while you're talking to your partner? Are you still worrying about tomorrow's presentation while your child is trying to tell you what happened at school? Sure, physically, you have left work. Mentally, though, work has come home with you, and remote working can make this even harder. There used to be a boundary. You left the building, you travelled, you arrived home. But now for millions of us, the distance between office and home is the distance from the spare bedroom to the kitchen. So you really need to be responsible. You need to create that boundary yourself. And one way of creating the boundary is to walk it. So at the end of your working day, close that laptop and go outside. 10 minutes may be enough to create the ritual. 20 is even better if you've got it. And the purpose of this walk is different from your morning walk. In the morning, you're asking, how do I want to show up? At the end of the day, you're asking, what am I putting down? And you can make this really deliberate. For the first few minutes, allow yourself to think about work. What happened? What still needs attention? What must you remember tomorrow? Capture anything essential with your phone's voice recorder. And then tell yourself, work is finished. You can move your attention now outside of yourself. Notice the air, look up at the sky, the trees, notice people, notice buildings, notice your feet hitting the ground. You're gradually changing state because the aim isn't simply to arrive home. It's to arrive home as the person you actually want to be there. The partner, the parent, the friend, the person who can listen, the person who can connect, the person who is actually present, not the body sitting at the dinner table while the brain is still in a meeting. And this, for me, gets to the heart of why integrating walking into work can be so powerful. We're not just trying to squeeze more productivity out of human beings. That's the last thing an overstretched workforce needs. We're asking a much more interesting question. How can we work well without allowing work to consume all of us? Obviously, walking will not fix a bad workplace. Walking won't fix if someone is being bullied. If an organisation is chronically understaffed, a lunchtime walk doesn't solve that. And if workloads are genuinely impossible, we shouldn't tell employees that the solution is to become more resilient. Remember the World Health Organization's definition of burnout. Burnout is connected to chronic workplace stress that hasn't been successfully managed. So some problems require changes to management, to culture, workload, resources, and expectations. But there is a space where we do have agency. We can change the way we move through our day. We can stop assuming that sitting still equals working hard. We can stop treating every 5 minutes away from a screen as lost productivity. We can create thinking space before our brains reach exhaustion. And we can move our bodies before they're screaming at us. And perhaps we can even start enjoying our work again, not because the deadlines disappeared, but because we are meeting them differently. So here's what I'd love you to try. A 7-day working walk experiment. And if you accept the challenge, this is how to do the experiment. Number one, create a morning walking transition. So if you commute, walk part of the journey. If you work from home, walk for 10 minutes around your block or around your local park before you open the laptop. And you can ask yourself, what matters today? How do I want to show up today? Number two, try the 5-minute rule as you go through your working day. So approximately once an hour, get out of the chair and move. You can walk along the corridor, you can walk up and down the stairs, you can walk to go and speak to somebody, you can go outside. It can just be 5 minutes, so don't make it really complicated. So number three, choose at least one problem this week for a light bulb walk. And remember that formula. So you ask a question, one thing you're stuck on. Spend a minute or two reminding yourself what you already know about that thing you're stuck on. And then you walk, preferably 20 minutes or so, but use the time you've got. And you wander. You wander physically and you wander mentally. You're not forcing the answer. Finally, number four, you capture. So if you get a brainwave, if you get a download from the universe, write it down. Write down what emerged, because sometimes those ideas are gold. Last of all, create an end-of-day walking transition. So this is even if you work from home. Close the laptop and walk. Let the day finish. Then come back through your own front door and practice being where you actually are. And if there's one thought I want you to take from today's program, it's this. We've built a working culture in which productivity is often associated with being visibly busy. Sitting, typing, answering, reacting. But some of your best work may happen when, to an outside observer, you don't appear to be working at all. You might be walking by a river. You might be crossing a park. You might be wandering around the block. But your brain is making connections. Your nervous system is getting some breathing space. And your body is moving. And the problem that looked impossible at your desk starts to look different. And that is not wasted time. Sometimes that is the work. So tomorrow when you hit that familiar moment, when you've read the same paragraph 6 times, you've opened another tab, you've started doom scrolling on your phone, your shoulders are hunched up and the solution to your challenge stubbornly refuses to arrive. At that moment, don't automatically decide that the answer is to work harder. You could try something different. You can stand up, you can pick one good question. You can leave that screen behind and you can walk. And you may come back with the answer. You may come back with 10 possible answers. Or you may simply come back calmer, clearer, are more able to do the work in front of you. All three are useful. Because a walk doesn't have to be somewhere you go after you finish being productive. It can become part of how you are productive. It can help you start the day deliberately so you're in control of how your day goes. It can help you think creatively so you're the one coming up with the great solutions. It can break up those hours of sitting that are so bad for our bodies. It can give you back your lunch break. Hooray! And at the end of the day, it can help you leave work where it belongs so you can return to the rest of your life being the person that you are proud to be. And perhaps the future of better working isn't about finding even more ways to keep ourselves attached to our desks. Perhaps every now and again, the smartest thing we can do is to walk away from them. So thanks for listening. And wherever you're walking this week, I hope one of those walks gives you your own little light bulb moment. If you're going to try that 7-day experiment, I wish you happy, happy walking. And next week, I'm back with one of my favourite walks. It's the Wonder Walk. So until then, happy walking.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Walk yourself.